think the defining element of the tefillas on Yom Kippur is the vidui. Even though in reality vidui is not in and of itself a mitzvah of Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah of every time a person brings a korban. Had to be the essence of the korban is the vidui. Without the vidui, the Rebbe Shalom has no interest in his korban. The vidui is a necessary component of tshuva. Tshuva is, from one of two standpoints, becomes the focal point of Yom Kippur. According to Rabbi Yoina that we saw yesterday, the pasuk says, "Ki vayom azeh yechaper aleichem l'tar eschem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titor." There's a specific mitzvah of lefnei Hashem titor, to do mitzvah, to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Besides the fact that it's generally a mitzvah throughout the year, but just as on Pesach there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, and on Sukkot to eat in a sukkah, on Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah, to do tshuva. It's particular to that day. Other Rishonim did not necessarily see it in Yonah's way, except as the Rambam writes that it's Kates Mechila V'Kapor. The gates are closing. It's the day of judgment before the Rebbe Shalom. So obviously, that's the day that we have to do tshuva. So not because Yom Kippur per se is as a special mitzvah of tshuva, but the time is running out. I mean, we had a mitzvah tshuva the whole year, but now finally on Yom Kippur is the last opportunity that we have to do tshuva. So from that standpoint, it's the vidui which is the focus of Yom Kippur. Now, in reality, vidui is a double-edged sword. It's inherent in our practices on Rosh Hashanah that it's a double-edged sword. What's strikingly absent on Rosh Hashanah is vidui. And all the days of slichas leading up to Rosh Hashanah is vidui. Shamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, etc. Start some Gedalia, Vaita Vidu. All the way through Yom Kippur. 2 days, there's a hiatus, Rosh Hashanah. And it's not by chance. We're told that a person would be very unwise to be Mizvada on Rosh Hashanah. I mean, there was an Indian, there were Kubbalim, and I don't think the others agree with this disagreement about it. According to Chachmei HaKabbalah, is an Indian of a silent vidui by the tekiyas. But generally in the halacha is an extreme antipathy to vidui on Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? Of weeks of tshuva, and vidui is the mainstay. And Rosh Hashanah, its absence is notable. And that's because vidui is a double-edged sword. Let's put it in our terms. A guy is caught. They have a list of his felonies. It takes pages to type out. The best lawyer in the world is not going to get him off. The evidence is too heavy. So he has no choice, but he has to go before the judge and plead guilty. And maybe with the plea of guilty, the judge will have some measure of compassion on him. But it depends. When he pleads guilty, the judge, on the other hand, may first throw the book at him. So you admit to doing this, and 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 this. So what do you want me to do to you? So a person's confession can bring forth midas adin. Confession can bring forth midas rachamim. But that depends on the dynamic that exists between the person that confesses and the one that receives the confession. Rosh Hashanah, as we know, is a time of din. Yom Kippur is a day of rachamim. On a day of din, you come in, you go to court, the judge has been throwing him away 25 years to this one, 50 years to this one. He's mowing him down. So if you have a smart lawyer, he decides that his client had a heart attack and has to go to the hospital today, you know. He'll be back in 3 months in court. Because he sees to show up in court today, it's not the day to show up. The judge is just mowing him down today. So he has to hope for a better day. If you come on a day that the judge is compassionate, so someone acknowledges his mistake, so maybe he'll have compassion upon him. So with a time of Midas Adin, we don't dare touch Vidui. Because we don't know what the reaction will be. The reaction could be Midas Adin. The Ibn Magi talks about it. Which I believe is the reason that we have in the structure of the slichas as we have them. If we define vidu as the essence of tshuva, right? The Rambam in the very beginning of the first parak in tshuva says the vidu is the essence of tshuva. In the slichas, where's the vidu? At the end. Why is it at the end? If that's what we came for, so we should say Ashrei and then say Vidui, and then start. Why do we talk the Vidui all the way at the end? So I think the reason for that is that what defines the Slichas until Shema Koleinu each day? Yud Gimel Midas. Right? So the Rabbi Shalom said that Bris Kruselofonai, that they're not Chayzus Reikam. That if a person identifies with the Yud Gimel Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he brings forth the Midas HaRachem. Called Yud Gimel Midas HaRachem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So before we get to Vidui, what do? We say over and over and over again the Yud Gimel Midas. And then Shema Koleinu Chuz V'Rachem Aleinu V'Kabu V'Rachamim V'Rotzim as Tvila Seinu. There should be Rachamim in Shemayim for our Tvilas. After that, then we first utter Vidui. In the hope that we brought forth Midas HaRachamim. In a world of Midas HaRachamim, Vidui would receive the right way. So Vidui is a double-edged sword. That's why Rosh Hashanah, we don't touch Vidui. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is a different tshuva. In reality, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is defined by the first two sentences of Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu chatanu lefanecha, a recognition that we've sinned. And some, in fact, don't even want to say that much, even in Avinu Malkeinu chatanu lefanecha. They say that's also too much. Some Achrayim crossed out that one. The next line is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech Ela'ot. That's the vidui. That's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Why is it the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? It's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah because the Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, made a very interesting observation. He said, we know that in all the Musa Svarim that were written historically, so what's the approach of Musa Svarim? They talk about all the different human failings. Or on the other hand, the milas, the attributes, the good attributes that people have. And we should push the good attributes and refine the inferior ones that we have. So we talk about Simcha on one hand, to Ivdu as Hashem, is to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam b'Simcha. We're talking about Avas Hashem. We're also talking about our deficiencies, our ego, our gaiva, our anger, our kas, our taiva, our lusts in this world. To refine them. So our Musa Sefer usually has many, many chapters. Says the reality is that serving the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has one defining aspect to it. And what is that? It was defined really by a Chassidish Rebbe, defined it perfectly. There was a Chassidish Rebbe that came once, and he told his Chassidim, Rabbi Yisai, when you say Hallel, if you say Ona Hashem Belev Shalom, the Rosh Hashanah Leilam will be mekabel whatever tefillah you have. So you know how Jews are. If there's two Jews, there has to be at least three opinions. So half the Hasidim said the Rebbe meant Ona Hashem Mashiach. They asked the Hebrews to save us. The other said no. The Rebbe meant Don Hashem Atzlichano to give us Hatzlocha. So the Rebbe said, oh, the Rebbe will grant us what we want. And they debated and debated, so they decided they'll go back to the Rebbe. And they'll ask the Rebbe, was it a pshat? Which one did he mean? And the Rebbe said, both of you missed it. I meant Ona Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. If you say Ona Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha, believe Shalom, that the Rebbe Shalom will give you what you want. So the Chazon Ish said that that's really the Yisoid. The Yisoid in serving the Rebbe Shalom was one thing. The Rebbe Shalom is the Melech, and we're his servant. And I'm, as his servant, I'm obligated to do whatever the Rebbe Shalom asks of me. And if I make that decision, the details are not particularly relevant. They flow from that one central decision. He says, so why didn't the Musa Swarm just deal with that one factor? He says the reason they didn't deal with that factor is it's a very difficult way. It's true. That goes right to the heart of the issue. But it's a very difficult way to serve the Rebbe Shalom. We'll wake up tomorrow morning, and that's it. But down to the depth of our being, and that's it. And everything else in the world became bottled. It's null and void. From the perspective of what we've accepted upon ourselves. So be a mighty person to be able to do that. So there's a much more practical way of doing it, is to deal with the manifestations of our deficiency. I have a lot of manifestations which occur because I'm not fully subjugated to the Rebbe Shalom. So it's a lot easier to work on them one by one, to break them down into itty-bitty pieces and serve the Rebbe Shalom in that fashion. You know, today I'll consider why I don't have proper Yerushalayim. Tomorrow why I'm a person that's a balkas, a balgaiva. So I'll deal with the manifestations one by one. Is a lot easier than to try to, in one shot, achieve tshuva. And that's the reality of the different aspects of tshuva. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is malchis. The Rebbe Shalom is the melech, and we're the eved. And that says it all. If I understand and integrate that principle, I resolved all the issues. There's nothing left to talk about. From Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippurim, after that, we took our shot at the core issue. After that, we realized that it's not so easy to connect fully at that level. So we go little by little, part by part by part by part by part. I find a very interesting thing. We'll come back a little bit to explore this a little more. The Gemara itself, and Yuma, end of the Gemara in Yuma, debates what's necessary for Vidui. Does Vidui, it's enough to say, Avol anachnu b'avoseinu chatonu, or chatonu avinu b'shanu, a general statement that we've sinned, or tzorach lefaret achet? We have to spell out individually the chaton that we've done. So that's a debate in the Gemara. What the halacha is less than clear. Not so clear. But how to place Kimo Machriya. The Rambam's view is very clouded. There are places, the Rambam, one place, the Rambam says, Ikar Avidu is Aval Anachna Bav Seinu Chaton. Elsewhere, the Rambam talks about being Mefarat Echet. So, how do we reconcile the statements in the Rambam? In the Me'iri quotes the Ga'inim, a very interesting idea. The Ga'inim said there are two ways that we do tshuva. You can do tshuva klolit, tshuva on a wholesale level, and tshuva proti, tshuva on a retail level. If you do tshuva klolit, you don't have to be mefarat techet. It's enough to say, avol anachnu v'avoseinu chatonu. But if you do tshuva proti on the retail level, then you have to go through all the nitty-gritty. That's what the Meiri quotes the Gaonim to this effect. So the shayla is a very simple shayla. You have to buy something tomorrow. It's going to cost you $5,000. But the major wholesaler in the tri-state area is your best friend. And he'll sell it to you. It costs you $3,000. So where are you going to go to buy it? Is anyone going to buy it? If you had that level of connection, are you going to go spend $5,000 in a retail store for it? When you pick up the phone, he's your best friend, and he's more than glad to do it for you. And for $3,000, he'll deliver it tomorrow to your house. Of course you're going to call him up. So the Gaonim raised the following question. If I can do tshuva klolit at a wholesale level, so why bother? Who's going to get involved in tshuva on the retail level, a tshuva protis? For what? On what basis? So this really touches the core that we've touched until now. Yeah, there are two ways to do tshuva. There's to do tshuva, there's that you have to be a mighty gibor to be able to do. The Rebbeinu Shalom comes to Yerovam ben Nevat. And he tells Yerovam ben Nevat, it could very well be that that's reflected in some of the incidents which take place in Sefer Melachot. It may not have been so exactly, so clearly stated, but it was implied. And what the message the Rebbeinu Shalom gives Yerovam, right? He has the day that he becomes paralyzed on his Mizbeach, and then he starts to function. Right? So that's about as clear a call from the Rebbeinu Shalom as he can get. And the Rebbeinu Shalom, by afflicting him or withdrawing it, is showing that he doesn't reject Yerovam. We say in Tillim, in Mizmor LeDavid, Shiftecho Mishantecho Heima Yinachamuni. It's a very difficult pasuk. Mishantecho is the Rebbeinu Shalom serves as a support for us. So Heima, that's so Shiftecho Mishantecho Heima Yinachamuni. It consoles me. The Rebbeinu Shalom is here. I see base tzorah and the times of difficulty and challenge. I see the Siyata Dishmaya. Shiftecho is the staff. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives a patch. So why is Heimayin Achamuni? I'm troubled by it. Where's the Necham? So it was an Adam Godel that I learned with in Yerushalayim, Rav Lezer Plachinsky, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, over the following interpretation. And I think that it's merumas in the side of it in the Medrash Eicha. He said, sheep wanders off. Left the flock, runs off into the forest. All of a sudden it looks around, it's bewildered. Doesn't know where it is. It's lost. And it's frightened. The shepherd takes stock, realizes he's lost one of the sheep. So he starts looking around, he chases after it, he finally finds it. He comes with his rod and he smacks it across the shoulders. So he says, it stings. But the sheep has a nechama. It knows it's in the shepherd's hands. If the Rebbeinu Shalom sometimes comes with the shevet Musa, what we know are in the Rebbeinu Shalom's hands. So Rebbeinu Shalom afflicted Yerovam, and he pulled back. So he let Yerovam know that he hasn't rejected him. Chazal tell us, the Rebbeinu Shalom tells Yerovam ben Nevat, that I'm ready to accept you and you'll come together with David, HaMelech, and myself and walk in Gan Eden. So Yerovam ben Nevat, listen, if any of the Rebbeinu Shalom came to us with that offer, I guess we believe that we would accept that offer. We're not that foolish to turn it down. The Rebbeinu Shalom comes in office, so sign up. Yerovam ben Nevat, he has preconditions. says to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Mivaraish, who's walking first? So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells him, Dabar HaMelech. So he tells the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I'll stay here. Now, what's remarkable, it's frightening how much a person could be distorted. That as great a person as Yerovam was, he would say he'd rather stay here than walk behind David. Fine. But I want to understand something else that caught my eye in this Chazal. There, everything in the world needs tshuva. Rabbeinu Shel Olam doesn't write off bills. You know, in a bank, if you get on the nerves enough and they have too little to collect from you, so they write the bill off and they go right, they forget about it. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Chazal tell us, doesn't write off the bill. So what's the pshat? And Yerovam ben Nevat is going to walk in Gan Eden. It was a chayti machti asaravim. Now the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, okay, come, let's go. You open up the door, you can come to Gan Eden. It's the pshat. How could that be? Without tshuva? The answer, my friends, is no, it's not without tshuva. Yerovam ben Nevat had to do tshuva. What was the tshuva of Yerovam ben Nevat? The entire revolution of Yerovam ben Nevat, Rabbi Yisai, is because he would not subjugate himself to Dabar HaMelech. Why didn't he want the people to come to be Oyel Regel in Yerushalayim? Because the only one who would be allowed to sit in the Azor is Dabar HaMelech. Not even Yerovam. He didn't have the chutzpah to come sit in the Azor. So he wanted, he couldn't subjugate himself to Dabar HaMelech. Couldn't be number two. So what was his tshuva? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells him, we're going to walk in Gan Eden, Yerovam. Where are you going to walk? You're going to walk second. And that will be your entire tshuva. You'll have to forego l'neitzach nitzachim your ego. For eternity, you have to bury your ego. Yerovam can't do it. It was a tshuva that he had to do. Yerovam wasn't a fool. But the impact of his ego on him was too strong. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells him there's the potential of tshuva for all yechaton in one moment. Accept upon yourself that l'neitzach nitzachim, for eternity, you're going to walk behind David HaMelech. If you accept it in one moment, you've unleashed such power within yourself that you've gone from being the chayte umachte isarabim to Eved Hashem, and you'll walk together with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Gan Eden. A person in one moment has the ability to make a sea change in his entire life, but it's very, very difficult to do. But the human being has the power to do so. And that's the meaning when Chasid Goyim say of tshuva klali. Yeah, every one of us would like to do tshuva wholesale. But to do tshuva on the wholesale means that in one moment I go from an egocentric person where I am at the center of my world, and now I enter a theocentric system where the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is at the center. And everything orbits around it. Not such a simple metamorphosis to achieve. If one is prepared to do that, so there's one chet that I haven't put myself in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's orbit. Yidach is perushas, mere details. Tshuva protis is too difficult. Little by little, I'll chip away at it here and there and there, etc. I'll push the envelope a little bit. So on Rosh Hashanah, we engage in tshuva klolos. We go for the brass ring. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the melech of the arts. And in there, in that perspective, that answers everything. but we're not so likely to succeed all the way. We may succeed some of the way, hopefully, on Rosh Hashanah, but all the way, we're not so likely to succeed. So we now go back, we retrench, start again. Now we're going to chip away at it, here a little bit, there a little bit, and the third place, the fourth place. Now we'll push the Rebbeinu Shem's agenda a little bit forward in our lives. So we come from two different perspectives. If one is ready to do what Yerovam ben Nevatit, I shouldn't say what he failed to do, what he had the ability to do, then he can do Tshuva Klavos. But that's not a very, very simple matter to do. Very, very difficult to achieve. Vidui is itself a difficult undertaking. Why? The Novi in Yirmiyahu says, "Hine nishpato ischo ala amorecha leichotos." The ultimate chet is our inability to see our shortcomings, our deficiencies. That's the ultimate chet. A human being almost inevitably fails sometimes. In Tzadik Baruch Asher Yaseh Tov Lo Yechto, Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Baba Basra that there were four people that did not sin. Never sinned. Four in the entire history. And those four do not include Avram Avinu, and that do not include Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question then is, it's almost inherently, it's inherently human, not almost inherently human. To err as human is inherently human. We err along the way. What do we have to do? We have to be able to free ourselves of our own ego so we can acknowledge the Rebbeinu Shemayim. And acknowledge that we've done some things we shouldn't do, that we ought to change. So we first have to come, the first step in tshuva is hakaras hachet, is the recognition that we've sinned. Vidui, in a way, concretizes that. Thoughts are amorphous. They're not always fully formed. Speech forces us to concretize our nascent thoughts. Vidui is concretizing our acknowledgement of where we've fallen short, of our deficiencies. So Vidui is a very, very difficult undertaking for that reason. And perhaps that's the yisoid. It's striking that in the Seder HaTfilas on Yom Kippur, on the Yom Kippur itself, we have 10 times the Vidui. 5 times in Shemoneh Esrei, and 5 times together with the Chazan, even at night. We have Vidui together with the Chazan when there's no Chazar Sashatz. And 4 times in the daytime, even at Nila. At Nila we don't have the Al-Chetz, but we have Hashamba. So we have Vidui 10 times. Why Vidui so often? And it's striking because in our Seder of the Slichas, we have Vidui 3 times. And that's a very controversial thing. The Gro held that one should only say it once. And I believe that I saw that the Arizal also held that way. I believe, I'm not 1,000% sure, but I believe that the Arizal also held that way. Normally on a Tainus, we only do it once. Because normally I would think that one should not be overly lengthy before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in pronouncing our deficiencies. Die lano that we committed them and that we have to admit them, that we shouldn't be dancing around, carrying on about them. You know, certain things they say, bad news. In the business world, you put it on Friday afternoon, because you hope by Monday morning it'll disappear. V-Day is for Friday afternoon. And here all of a sudden on Yom Kippur, 10 times the V-Day. What's the pshat? I think the pshat is because V-Day is very difficult to do. And we hope that somewhere between all the 10 times that we'll, our V-Day will be fully sincere. Maybe on this chet it'll be at Marv, and the next chet it'll be at Musaf tomorrow. Doesn't have to all be in one shot. But overall, at least there'll be one moment on Yom Kippur that the Vidu will take place B'Leif Sholem.
Does the Vidu and Mincha Erev Yom Kippur?
Well, come, that's something else. It's a different notion why we have the Vidu on Erev Yom Kippur at Mincha. The Ran writes, in the name of the Ramban, that there's an Inyan to enter Yom HaKippur Mitaira. That we should enter the day that we want the Rabbeinu Shalom's Rachman, we should already be Torah. We should not sort of be, and to put it in common terms, we shouldn't be playing catch-up. You know, here we are, it's Yom Kippur, the clock is ticking, it's winding down, and we're still running to get on the train. What one ought to do, the Ramban says, is enter Yom Kippurim in a state of Tahara. Because we've done everything that we can to prepare for Yom Kippur, including the Vidui, that I've achieved a state of Tahara as much as I can before Yom Kippur. But there are aspects that we need Yom Kippurim to be Matara person. Rabbeinu Yoni writes in the Shari Tshuva, it's very striking, that Erev Yom Kippur is a day that is an obligation to eat, to have a suda. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, the reason is, a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is it's a Yom Simcha. Imagine in the midst of all of the preparations for Yom Kippur, and a person that's a believing person has a certain level of anxiety as he approaches Yom Kippur. What is going to happen in his life in the coming year is going to be decided tomorrow. That's not a very easy thing to face. And the day before is a Yom Simcha. Why is it a Yom Simcha? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes the following. If a person violated a mitzvah saseh during the year, so the halacha is that if he does tshuva, and he doesn't even have to leave that place. In other words, immediately the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will grant him kapar. If no aleinu, a person violated a lo yisaseh, we cannot get kapara for during the year. We could do tshuva for it. If we did tshuva, so the halacha is toilin. Toilin means that there's an open file. That in Shemayim they haven't rendered a verdict on this file. There's an open file. No, there was, the world says that a man went to court once and he was brought up in many charges and the lawyer filed for dismissal. Comes into court and the judge says, dismissed. Okay, you're free to go. Everything is dismissed. He goes out of court, and the lawyer's all happy, and his client is unhappy. So he says, what's your problem? The judge just freed you. It's true the judge freed me, he said. But the judge overlooked one of the charges, and that charge I don't really have a good defense for. So if the judge ever goes back and looks at these papers again, I'm in bad shape. So, we have an open file It's a frightening thing for the Rebbeinu Shalom. What's going to be the disposition of it? The Rachamim or the Din? The Yom HaDin didn't come yet. So he says a person has to be have anxiety throughout the year that perhaps they'll do another chet and they'll bring me the charanaf of the Rebbeinu Shalom against them. And once that's the case, they'll say, oh, he has this Savera that he also did, this file still open. I'll give it to him for this one too. So when does a person celebrate? He says, finally he comes to Erev Yom Kippur. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow's Yom Kippur. And I did tshuva for that Avera, for that Lo Yisaseh. So the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to give me kapara. This is a phenomenal thing. So it's a Yom Simcha. So we await Yom HaKippurim. There's a Torah that can only come on Yom HaKippurim. It can't come before Lifnei Hashem Titaru. There's a Torah that can only come on Yom Kippur. It can't come without Yom Kippur. So that we have to wait for sometimes until Yom Kippur to achieve that Torah before the Rebbeinu Shalom. So there's a Simcha in coming to that day. And as the Ramban says, we should prepare for the day before we get there, that as Yom Kippur opens, we've already completed the process of tshuva. When our hands are tshuva, there are madrigas to tshuva, but we've already done tshuva before Yom Kippur. So this is the notion of the vidui et mincha. Perhaps the vidui Tzvila Zaka. Now, there's a process of tshuva for a yochid, and there's a process of tshuva for a rabbi. The rabbi also has to do tshuva. But we said in the tefillas, Sanyam Naron, Avala Medina is bo ye yomer. The din is not only on the yochid, there's a din on the rabbi too. And sometimes the yochids is affected by the status of the rabbi. Ala Medina is bo de yomer. Now we find something very striking in Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu comes before the Rebbeinu Shalom after Chet Ha'Egel, and there's a pasuk. The pasuk's hair raising. The pasuk says, "Ono chato ha'om chato gedolah." The nation has committed a very grave sin. Someone hired a lawyer to defend him. Is that the opening statement you want him to make? He walks into court, says, "Your Honor, there's a 25-count indictment against my client. Your Honor, you don't know the half of it. Let me tell you what he did." You know, who needs such a lawyer? That's what you paid $50,000 for. Moshe Rabbeinu comes before the Rebbeinu Shalom. Oh, no, chato, chato gedolah. That's what we need Moshe Rabbeinu for. Come before the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rambam tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was being mizbada. And in vidui, kol amarbe, who the greater our acknowledgement of our culpability, the more effective our vidui is. Because that means we've come to a deeper recognition of our deficiency, which is the soul of tshuva. So Moshe Rabbeinu was not here to magnify the chet that Klal Yisrael did. But Moshe Rabbeinu speaks here as the representative of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the role in Chet Ha'Egel that the Kohen Gadol was serving all the doors, and that the Shliach Tzibur serves today. Why are we so particular about choosing an appropriate Shliach Tzibur? Because the Shliach Tzibur, as we say in the Tefillos, and Hayenon Pifiyos, he stands as our representative before the Rebbeinu Shalom. Pleads our case. This explains, I'll ask you a very simple question, Rabbi Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Where does Vidui belong in the Tefillah? Which part of the Tefillah should have the Vidui? Where should we put Vidui? What? We're talking, let's say, on Yom Tov, where should we put the Vidui?
In the middle brachos.
So where do we say Vidui?
At the end.
So why do we say at the end? Elamai, if the end is the place, so let the Shliach Tzibur also say it at the end. Elamai doesn't have the end, so he puts it as, so if the middle is a problem, why don't we put it in the middle? So he could also put it at the end. At Marv, he puts it after the Tefillah. So why is it in the middle of the Tefillah? And where does he put it in the Tefillah? In the Brach of Kedushas Hayom. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol had to be mizvada for his chaton and for all the Kohanim and for all of Klal Yisrael. Shliach Tzibur represents all of Klal Yisrael. The Avodas Hayom, that's the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. That's Avodas Hayom. That's the Indian of the Kedushas Hayom, the Karbonus, that which we had to do, that's in Kedushas Hayom. The Kohen Gadol represented, the Shliach Tzibur is not a Yochid. Shliach Tzibur represents the Avodah of the Rab, the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was Mizvada at the beginning of Parshas Emor for all of Klal Yisrael. That belongs in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, the Kedushas Hayom. My personal Vidui, that's my personal mitzvah. That's not the Avodah Hayom, that's not the Avodah of Klal Yisrael. It's my personal mitzvah. It's no Shaychus of the Avodah Hayom. So that has to be at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. The Shliach Tzibur on Yom Kippur is the role of the Kohen Gadol. He is Mizvada for the entire Tzibur. And I believe in Minhag HaGroh, if I recall correctly, the Groh did not hold that we should recite the Vidui in the Chazaras HaShatz together with the Chazan. As I recall, the Goyim Sheet is only the Chazan should recite that Vidui. Because that's not a Vidui of the Yechidah. It's not our Tshuva. It's a Din of the Tzibur. So that element of the Tfilas exists as well. It's not only Vidui of the Yochid, but Vidui of the Tzibur as well. And that's in the Shliach Tzibur, it's Kedushas Hayom for that reason. He's in the role of the Kohen Gadol. We as Yechidim are a private Asik that we have to do Tshuva. That's not Avodas Hayom.
But isn't that the whole Tachas of the day? The Avodas Hayom is for each and every
Yochid. The Shliach Tzibur is not the Asik of Yechidim. The Shliach Tzibur is the Avodah. I have my private service of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I have to do Tshuva. That's true. But that's not the Shliach Tzibur's role. The Shliach Tzibur is the voice of the Tzibur. Because that's not in the Avodah Sayyim. The central bracha has to do with what the Avodah the Mikdash was. That's what the central bracha of every Shabbos and Yom Tov is. What were the Karbonos? What did they bring? What did they do?
Should you say Yiyul or Tzalmei
Fei? Should you say, this is a big Shiloh. Most of the Achrayim held that you should say Yiyul or Tzalmei Fei before you do the Vidui. And the Groh, though, was very strongly disagreed. The Groh's perspective, and as I say, I've not fully integrated, the Groh's not integrated into my thinking yet. In other words, I'm talking in terms of having fully integrated what the Goyin means, where it's coming from exactly. The Goyin Shita is that it really has to be in Shemoneh Esrei, and once we say Yiyul HaRotzon, that's it, Shemoneh Esrei is over, finished, even the first Yiyul HaRotzon. So the Goyin held that Dafka, that you cannot recite the first Yiyul HaRotzon. Yeah, the Vidui has to be before Yiyul HaRotzon. So it has to be part of the Tefillah. So it's a little bit, Rabbi said, the insights into Mitzvah's Vidui, which is the quintessential Mitzvah of Yom Kippur, is the Vidui. So there's the video of the Yochid, the video of the Tzibur. There's video both in Kloli, Avala Anachna, Bava Seinu Chatonu. There's video in the details, the Protim. There's Tshuva Kloli. There's Tshuva Protus. Each one has its own video. May the Rabbanu Shel Olam grant that we achieve within ourselves the integrity that we have to have to be mizvado appropriately before the Rabbanu Shel Olam. To be insincere vidui is itself a serious chet. So may the Rabbanu Shel Olam grant that we muster within ourselves the integrity, the honesty and the humility before the Rabbanu Shel Olam to be mizvado properly. We should be zeichet et ma'achsim et toivah b'tyorah b'yisrael.
Just the first person.